Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to John chapter 8. We're going to take a little break from our series. As I thought about this week, as I prayed about what the Lord would have me speak on, would I continue in our series, what would I do? And as I was praying, the Lord reminded me of one of our core values, which is the fact that we value people. We value people. And the reason we value people is because Jesus values people. If you look all throughout the Gospels, all throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, when the Gospels that show the life of Jesus, we see that Jesus walked this earth, and we saw that he was constantly loving and valuing people. And oftentimes it was people that others didn't value. Jesus valued the people that others rejected. And so this morning, we're going to look at a story that many of you may be familiar with. It's the story of the adulterous woman found in John chapter 8. And as we look at this story, I want to take a look at how the Pharisees and the teachers of the law responded to this woman that you see here in John chapter 8 in comparison to how Jesus responded to this woman. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me as we're going to read John chapter 8, verses 2 through 11. This is what it says in the scripture this morning. It says, "At dawn he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman that was caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?' They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis of accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, 'Let any one of you who was without sin be the first to throw a stone at her.' Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, 'Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?' 'No one, sir,' she said. 'Then neither do I condemn you,' Jesus declared. 'Go now and leave your life of sin.'" Now, the interesting thing I found when I began to study this section of Scripture is that some of the early manuscripts of the Bible don't have these scriptures in it. Some of our Bibles say that. There'll be a little note at the end. These weren't found in early manuscripts. As a matter of fact, John 7, verse 53 through John 8, verse 11, weren't in some of the early manuscripts. And so this obviously caused me to ask the question, why, right? Why didn't you see these in some of the early manuscripts? Why would they leave any of God's Word out, right? You would think you wouldn't want to leave anything of God's Word out. And as I studied and I dug deeper into this question, I came across a commentary by St. Augustine that I think had some good insight possibly into this. He says that the story was removed from the text of the Gospel because at this time, many were small in their faith, and they wanted to avoid scandal. We cannot tell for sure, but it would seem that in the very early days, the people who edited the text of the New Testament thought that this was a dangerous story, and it would allow people to have a light view of adultery. Therefore, they omitted it. Interesting, is it not? To hear this commentary. But thankfully, in later manuscripts, it was put back in because I think it's an amazing story. An amazing story of God's grace. An amazing story of the value that Christ sees in people, that Christ sees in all of us, even in our failures. Now, when we look at this story, we're seeing two perspectives, right, of this woman. The perspective of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And then we see the perspective of Jesus. And as we read this story, we see how different their views were. And so this morning, I want to look at these two different perspectives and maybe challenge us to ask the question, who are we more like? Is our perspective more like the Pharisees and the religious leaders, or is our perspective more like Jesus's? See, to the Pharisees, one of the things I noticed right off the bat is that they really had no value for this woman. To the Pharisees, this little interaction had nothing to do with who this woman was. It had nothing to do with her. The whole thing was about their desire to trap Jesus, right? To trick Jesus, to destroy the validity of his testimony. That's what they were trying to do here. The woman just happened to be their means of doing it this time, right? We've seen this happen time and time again where they tried to trick Jesus. And in this moment, this woman was just the means. And honestly, they probably didn't even recognize her as a person. Right? Because number one, she was a woman in this time, and she was a sinner. And so to them, she was this nameless sinner, a nobody with no value other than as a pawn in their little game to take down Jesus. And here's the thing. When we fail to see people as people, then we're failing to be the people God has called us to be. We're failing to live the life that God has called us to live because God has created us to love people. You see it up on that, well, maybe the drums are in the way, but loving God and loving people, right? To extend His kingdom, that's what we're called to do. God has created us to love people, to see them, with His eyes, to realize that every person we come in contact with, even those people that rub us the wrong way, even those people that fail us, every person in the world, male, female, it doesn't matter what race, it doesn't matter who you are, your social status, this, that, every person in the world is one of God's creations. He created them. When we see people with this perspective, it changes the way we view them. The Lord created all of us. It's not like, oh, well, yeah, God created me because I'm good, right? And, well, someone else must have created him because look at him over there. God created every one of us, and to him, every single one of us is valuable. He loves us. To realize, and God wants us to understand that he has a plan for every one of our lives. When we look and we see people out in this world and we see them going all different directions, the reality is God has a plan for all of our lives. And the truth is that, like I said, some people, maybe even some of us, might not be living out that plan, might not be living out that calling, at least not yet, right? Some of us might not even feel like we're close. But it doesn't mean that God doesn't still love us and that he doesn't still value us. The Pharisees were all about themselves. They were all about their own agendas, their own thoughts, their own desires, and they failed oftentimes to love and to value people. And we need to make sure that we are seeing people and valuing people the way God has called us to value them, something that the Pharisees were failing to do. The second thing I noticed about the Pharisees is this. It's their misconception of authority. They had come to the belief that their knowledge of the scriptures, that this status that they had achieved had given them the authority to judge and condemn sinners. And they were so caught up in judging, they were so caught up in pointing fingers that they failed to realize that they themselves were sinners. And the sad thing is often we fall into this same trap that the Pharisees fell into. As Christians, we sometimes act like we're better than others. I'm a Christian. I'm good. I'm better than that person. We act like we're better, as if our sins aren't as bad as their sins. It doesn't matter what sin, this sin or that sin, it all separates us from God. And we think that we're better, and so we judge and we condemn them. We point fingers. And we fail to realize that we too are sinners, that we too make mistakes. And the Bible warns us about this. It warns us about judging others. In Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2, this is what Jesus says. He starts off by saying, "Do not judge." It's right there, plain and simple, right? Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. The Pharisees, they had tricked themselves into believing that they were better than others, that they somehow had this authority to judge, that they were less sinners than the person next to them. But as we look at the scriptures this morning, we realize that something began to happen in this interaction, right? All of a sudden, the Pharisees began to walk away. Why? Why did they walk away? If they were so good, if they were so perfect, why didn't any of them stay and cast that first stone? Now, there are some differing opinions and ideas on why this was, why they began to walk away. And the truth is, we don't know for sure. The Bible doesn't tell us. But some believe that when Jesus squatted down and began to write in the dirt, there are some that believe he was maybe writing the sins of those Pharisees, things that they have done, sins that they had committed. Now, again, we don't know for sure what Jesus was writing, but it's obvious that whatever he was writing, it caused them to think. It caused them to change their tune a little bit. Maybe they began to realize, wow, maybe this person's not much different than I. I too have sins. Maybe they began to realize that they didn't have the authority to judge or to condemn this woman like they thought they did. Because neither one of them, none of them there, were without sin. Neither of them had the right to cast the first stone. And I can tell you, none of us have the right to cast the first stone. Perhaps they were realizing that they should pull the log out of their own eye before they try to pull the speck out of this woman's eye. You see, God is the only one who is perfect. He's the only one that's worthy to judge. Just because we're Christians, just because we may be learning as we grow in Him to make right choices, just because we may be doing a good job of living life according to the Scriptures and according to who God has or how God has called us to live, it doesn't mean that we have the authority to judge and condemn those who aren't. We need to learn to extend the same grace we have received from God. Right? Because it says in the Bible, while you were yet sinners. Right? We need to be able to extend that same grace to others. The perspective of the Pharisees, it was the wrong perspective. They were messed up. They failed to realize the value of this woman, and they failed to realize their own sin and failures, which is why I want to finish by looking at the right perspective this morning. I want to look at now Jesus' perspective in this situation. Now we know that Jesus knew. Jesus isn't dumb, right? Jesus is pretty smart. If you didn't know that, okay, let me just tell you that right now, all right? Jesus is pretty smart, and he knew. He knew that these Pharisees were trying to trick him. But the thing is, I believe Jesus was less concerned about the Pharisees' games and more concerned about the woman that they brought before him. Why? Because Jesus valued this woman. As I mentioned earlier, the Pharisees probably didn't even know this woman's name. But I can guarantee you, Jesus knew her name. We serve a God that is personal, who wants a personal relationship with us, who knows us personally. He even knows us by name. We see him say that numerous times in the scriptures. In Exodus 33, he tells Moses, "I know you by name." In Isaiah 45, it says, "It is I, the God of Israel, who calls you by name." And I love one of my favorite little scriptures. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." He knows us. He knows us greater than we know ourselves. The Bible tells us in Matthew 10, this is the one that blows me away, that he even knows the number of hairs on our head, okay? I don't know the numbers of hairs on my head, okay? He knows us. He knows everything about us, and it's because he created us. And think about that. That fact alone, the fact that God, the God of this universe, created us, gives each of us value. You see, our value doesn't come from anything we've done or haven't done. That's what the world might say, but that's not God's view, right? Our value doesn't come from our accomplishments or our downfalls. To the world that may be, but not to the Lord. If you remember Craig sharing last week, the upside down kingdom, it's different for the Lord. Our value comes from the one who created us, our Creator. I want to share a story with you this morning. I heard this story years ago. It's one of my favorite Ron Mell stories. Many of you have heard me talk about Pastor Ron Mell, an amazing pastor for years at Beaverton Four Square Church, wrote many books. And this story is a story about someone he actually knew, a friend of his, and it's a true story that I'm about to share with you. It's a pretty cool story. He titled it, "One Man's Junk, Another Man's Treasure." Let me read it to you. The story goes like this. His friend Bob was about to leave when in the back of the garage, he saw something hidden underneath an old comforter. Its shape was unmistakable, a motorcycle, but not just any kind of motorcycle, an old Harley. He asked the owner, "Is the bike part of the garage sale?" "I don't see why not," the man said. "The wife says it's all got to go, but I'll warn you, that bike hasn't run since I got it. The motor seized up." Bob asked, "Well, how much you want for it?" "I could get about $35 for it for scrap. How does that sound?" Bob decided he'd take it. Now, after taking up space in his own garage for a while, Bob finally came around to call Harley Davidson and see what parts would cost to restore this old bike. The serviceman, he got on the line, asked Bob for the serial number, and then he said, "Let me put you on hold while I look up this information for you." Bob waited and waited as he listened to 60s rock music, waited some more, and he was about to hang up when the man finally returned. But the man sounded a little weird this time, responding, saying, "Sir, I'm going to have to call you back, okay?" Now, Bob was a little concerned because they had asked for his name and his address. Was the bike stolen, he thought? Am I in trouble? All sorts of thoughts went through his head. Bob worried off and on for a couple of days, but a few days had passed and the telephone rang again. It was not the parts man, but instead a Harley executive. The man was very friendly as he asked, "Sir, can you do me a favor? Could you please go and take the seat off the bike and look at the bottom and see if anything is written under the seat? You know, I'll wait here on the line while you do it." So Bob did as the man had asked, and shortly after doing what he asked him to do, returned to the phone saying, "Yes, there is. It's engraved with the King." Sir, I have been authorized to offer you $300,000 for the bike. A lot different than $35 that he paid, right? Payable immediately. Do we have a deal? Bob was a little shocked, wasn't sure what to say, and so he said, well, let me think about it and get back to you. The next day, Bob received another phone call. This one was from a guy by the name of Jay Leno. And he offered him $500,000 for the bike. Now, if you haven't figured it out by now, the king, of course, was none other than Elvis Presley. This bike had been made specifically by Harley for him. One man's junk, another man's treasure. And I share this story because in these scriptures, the Pharisees, they saw this woman as nothing but an old run-down motorcycle in the back of the garage. Something with little to no value. But Jesus saw her true value. He saw what she was really worth. His perspective was completely different than that of the Pharisees. And I believe that God desires that our perspective would be different than that of the world's. That we would understand that all people, everyone in this world, all people are valuable. And that we would learn to love people, to love our community and those around us in the way that He does. And here's the thing, in a way that as we love them with the love of Jesus, and it loves them in a way that draws them to Him. It's not about us, it's about Him. And when we love them in that way, it draws people into an opportunity of second chances. Because that's exactly what we see in this story, right? Jesus giving this adulterous woman a second chance. The fact is we serve a God of second chances, right? And third and fourth. And some of us can say, yeah, the number's too high for me to count of the chances that God has given us. His Word tells us His mercies are new every morning. I tell you, man, I get 365 chances a year, and I take them all, I think. Not intentionally, but we serve a God whose mercies are new every morning. Now, here's the thing. Does that mean that we should just go on sinning and then ask for forgiveness in the morning? Some of us, that's how we live, right? Just do it and ask for forgiveness later? No. Because here's the thing. That's not why God gives us grace. You see, as we look at Jesus' perspective versus the Pharisees' perspective, I think it's important that we don't miss out the end of the story. You see, Jesus starts by extending grace, something we all need. We cannot survive without that grace. We are all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of the Lord. But if you look at the end of these scriptures, the very last part of the scripture, you realize that with that grace, with His forgiveness, comes a challenge. A challenge to all of us who say yes to Jesus. Because did He tell her that the life she was living was okay? Oh, it's great. It's no big deal. Just go keep living that life that you're living. Is that what Jesus said to her? No. You see, the Pharisees and Jesus both knew that she had been living a life of sin, not the life that God would desire for her to live. A life that actually, according to the old law, was worthy of death. According to the old Jewish law, she could have been killed because of what she was doing. And Jesus didn't tell her to keep doing the same thing, to keep living the same life. No, He told her to go and to leave your life of sin. And now, the reality is, I tell people, how many of us have gone and left our life of sin? No, we all fail, right? We all fall short. But He challenged her to change her life, to begin to live the life that God created her to live. That's what His grace is for. When we give our lives to Jesus, the truth is, we should start to live differently, not perfectly, Because none of us are perfect. If we think, oh, okay, I should live perfect now, we're gonna discourage ourselves and we're gonna continue to mess up. But we should start to live life differently. You see, Jesus tells us to come as we are, right? That's what we believe as a church, that you come as you are. That people would be able to come in the midst of their failures, in the midst of their struggles, that they could walk in that door and feel loved and accepted in the same way that this adulterous woman was by Jesus. We come as we are, despite our sins, despite our failures, despite the things that we continue to struggle with. But as we come, and as we allow Him to pour out His grace and forgiveness upon us, it's then that we need to seek God's calling on our life, to seek His power and His strength to begin to live the lives, to strive to live the lives He's called us to live. I love how Paul puts it in Ephesians 4. He says to throw off the old, right? Yeah, this is how we were living. We made mistakes. God loves us. Come as we are. He forgives us. But now He wants to work at us throwing it off and to begin to put on the new life that He's called us to live. His grace and forgiveness isn't so we can just keep on living a life of sin. His grace and forgiveness is so that we can experience His righteousness in our lives and that we can then begin to live the life that He's called us to live. And if along the way we should stumble and fall, which all of us do at times, then His grace is there to pick us up and to help us keep going, to keep taking those baby steps. I had a conversation with a guy on the phone the other day that was actually calling to learn about the Lord and salvation. And he talked about just, man, I'm trying, but I'm just not getting as far as I want. And I just encouraged him. You've heard, many of you, if you've been around, you've heard my theology, my What About Bob theology. It's this real deep theology, okay? I don't know if any of you have seen the movie What About Bob. It's a funny movie, but in the book it just says, baby steps to the elevator, baby steps to the front door, baby steps, right? And that's the thing in our relationship with the Lord. It's the baby steps. It's that we're striving to just get closer to Jesus today than we were yesterday. That we're changing, that we're growing in Him and taking those steps to where we're continuing to grow in Him, that we continue to press in. And here's the cool thing, because I think there's a lot of times we're like, man, I keep failing. Can I do this? But here's the cool thing. He believes in us. God believes in us. Even when we don't believe in ourselves sometimes, He knows. He knows that with His help, through the power of His Spirit, the sinner can become the saint. But it's up to us to choose to follow Him, to choose to live the life that He's called us to live. He gives this woman at the end, He gives her a choice. You can go back to living the life that you're living, or you can start living this new life that Jesus was calling people to live. And it's the same choice that each of us have. The question is, which of these perspectives are we living with? When it comes to others, are we learning to love people and see their true value like Jesus? Not based on what they've done or the mistakes they've made. That's how the Pharisees viewed people. But the reality that they were created by God, that He loves them and values them and wants us to do the same. And when it comes to our own lives, are we walking in His grace? Are we seeking to live our lives in a way that's holy and pleasing to God? We're not going to be perfect, but it's the heart. I've talked about this recently. I was talking with people, just this idea. I think about David. David was an adulterer, a murderer, all sorts of things. But the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Because he would make mistakes, but his heart was to seek the Lord. And when he would make mistakes, he would seek forgiveness and continue to move and strive to live the life that God has called him to live. Are we walking in His grace and seeking to live the lives in a way that's holy and pleasing to God? Because that's how He's ultimately calling us to live. He wants us to understand not just the value of others, but also to understand our value. Because a lot of times we may see value in others, but we don't see value in ourselves. But if we've said yes to Jesus, you know what? We are stamped with the mark of the King. And I'm not talking about Elvis Presley here. I'm talking about the King of Kings, right? If we've said yes to Jesus, then we are children of the King. Our value is no longer based on us. It's no longer based on our path. It's no longer based on our failures and our mess-ups. It's based upon Him. It's based upon Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we need to realize the true value that we have in Him. And the title of my message this morning was, We All Have Value. And that's the thing that we need to understand. Those around us, whoever they are, we need to value them. And we need to see the value that God has given us. Amen. I'm going to have the worship team come forward. I want to finish, and I want to do a little different. I want to finish with Holy Spirit this morning. And so, let me just pray. Lord, we come before You, and we just thank You for this beautiful day, this opportunity to be out here, Lord. Lord, as we look around and we see the beauty of Your creation, Lord, the green trees, we hear the creek in the distance flowing, Lord, the grass, the leaves swaying in the wind, Lord. It's just a beautiful picture of Your beauty and the value that You put into Your creation, Lord. And Lord, You value us over all of Your creation. That we are Your special creation that You created for relationship with You and relationship with others. And we thank You for that, Lord. And this morning, I thank You for just the testimony in John 8 of Your value for people. And Lord, I want to be someone who learns to value people the way You did. That You weren't caught up in the game that the Pharisees were playing, Lord. That You cared about this person, this woman that You created that was brought before You. And Lord, help us to be people who value other people, Lord. That we don't see people as pawns or objects or this or that. That we see each person around us as people that were created by You. And that alone gives them value, and that we would love them in the way, Lord, that You love us. And that secondly, Lord, that we would understand our own value. The fact that despite our failures, despite our past, Lord, it doesn't matter what we've done, it doesn't matter how far we've fallen, Lord, Your grace covers it all. And Your grace gives value to our lives, Lord, because You created us and You have stamped us with the stamp of the King. And we thank You for that, Lord. And so I pray this morning, Lord, that You just allow these things to penetrate our hearts, to challenge us to be the men and women of God that You've called us to be, people who value others and value who You have created us to be, and that we would seek to live those lives that You've called us to live, Lord. And Lord, we do that through the power of Your Holy Spirit. And so that's why this evening, or this morning, Lord, we want to finish with that song of just Your Holy Spirit that we invite to come and to help us live the lives that You've called us to live, Lord. To be those people who truly value others, value ourselves, and live the lives You've called us to live. We thank You for these things, Lord. Encourage us, be with us today. Even as we walk out of this place, Lord, later today, that we would begin to live life differently, to see with Your eyes, not the eyes like the Pharisees, Lord, but with Your eyes that values people and understands the importance that You want us to live the life that You've called us to live. We thank You for these things. We give them to You. In Jesus' name, amen.